It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Hi, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton. It's time for us to talk about the outdoors here on KETR like we do every week. Now, today we're going to talk about a topic that can be, it has the potential to be controversial. It's helicopter hog hunting. And I have a special guest, a good friend of mine, and I know you know Mr. Larry Wysoon, Mr. Whitetail. Larry's with me on the regular show that I do each week, or the hour-long show, I should say, on Catfish Radio. But we want to discuss the ins and outs of helicopter hog hunting. I'm not opposed to the practice at all. On big ranches or maybe high fence ranches. But if you read my newspaper column, it's in a bunch of papers up here in North Texas. Greenville is probably the closest one to you. My newspaper article this week, I did go in depth talking about some encroachments that's taken place by helicopter hunters on some land that I lease. And it's not just me. I've talked to three or four other guys in the area that I live that's had the same problem. So Larry Wysoon, now he was probably did some of the first hog hunts on big ranches back when it first started, way before the current law was passed. So let's pick Larry's brain. Larry, thank you for being with us, man.
My pleasure. You know, you're right. We did some of this many, many years ago when we needed all kinds of special permits to remove hogs off of properties. And those properties that we did that on were substantial. I mean, we're talking thousands of acres rather than hundreds of acres. And having gone up in a helicopter many, many, many times, having gone down in a helicopter several times when it crashed, I can tell you that, you know, when you take a helicopter up, there's a substantial number of acres that are immediately impacted by that helicopter going up with people, with animals running away from it. So, small properties are very immediately impacted whenever you take a helicopter up and have a tendency to push those animals onto adjoining properties.
Well, yes, and I'll kind of describe my situation. We have a little track of land that's it's probably 240 acres. I don't know if it's been surveyed in recent history, but we know where the boundaries are, the old fence lines. It's no doubt where the property begins and ends. Well, it's prime habitat for all kind of wildlife. There's some old gravel pits, Larry, and then there's a lot of heavy, heavy cover. You know, real dense cover, perfect for hogs. There's water on it. I mean, you couldn't find better hog habitat. So as a result, a lot of the hogs in the area, that's home to them. Now, there's no helicopter hog hunting allowed on this little piece of land we hunt, but right next to it is about, I don't know, a little over 300 acres, maybe 350 acres. That a company has contracted with the landowner to fly over it and take hunters, shooters, you know,
right,
to shoot hogs. Now, this particular tract is mostly open that's adjacent to it. It does have a creek, a slough on one side, but on three different occasions, I've witnessed the helicopters on their side of the fence, almost treetop level, Larry, with sirens going,
right,
you know, to push hogs, and then come right over and stay low over our tract of land. Now,
trespassing.
That's trespassing.
That's trespassing, pure and simple. It's trespassing with a firearm, and that, I would imagine, gets into the Federal Hunting Act as well, because that helicopter and those hunters do not have permission to be on that property. So that's a scary thing. It's up to the helicopter pilot to know where the boundaries are. It's not up to someone else to show him where they are. He has to know exactly where those boundaries are. And if he crosses over into another property, then that's trespassing, no different than if he were walking across the fence, crawling across the fence and going onto the property.
Well, the company, I know the particular company. I'm not calling any names. I don't want to cause them any problems. I really don't. But I did call the manager and talk to him for about 15 minutes. And my background, for many years, I was a survey crew chief on the ground, out there finding track lines and corners and property corners, et cetera. So I know a little bit about that. And when I was talking to him, the conversation went, as I mentioned, that the track next to us was one of their permitted tracks, and I called the owner's name. He knew the owner. He said, yeah, we made a deal with him 2 years ago. Well, I brought up the fact that on three occasions I have seen their helicopter over our parcel of land at low altitude. Not only me, but several other people have seen it. And the response I got was, well, round up the plats and survey. You know, he didn't really, I could tell he wasn't a surveyor, but, you know, he knew enough of the terminology, the maps, he told me. He didn't even mention the plats or the meets and bounds or anything like that. Bring the maps to me, you know, and then I'll look at them and I'll make sure we never get over there again. Well, my reply to that was, now, you signed a contract with a landowner 2 years ago to fly over his property with hunters. Now, did you not know at that time the limits of where you could go and where you couldn't? And that kind of hung him up. I mean, you know, but our conversation ended. I had no intentions of going to the plat office and rounding up meets.
No.
You know, that's not my job.
It's not your job to do so. It's no different. If he leased that land for the hunting rights, it's like saying, okay, I'm going to hunt on the ground, but I've got this land leased, and, oh, I don't know what that fence line is over, and if I cross it, you know, that's just too bad. Again, trespassing is what that is. And trespassing with a gun is actually a felony in the state, so without permission. So if I were the helicopter company, I think I'd be trying to quickly make amends, and I'd be learning exactly where all the boundaries are on the properties that I do try to shoot from a helicopter with. And my suggestion is to any landowner that encounters anything like that is to carry a video camera when that's going on, and get right on the fence line, show that helicopter crossing in a low level across to your property, and then call in the federal game warden and the local game warden as well, and to stop that sort of thing. I mean, I'm not against shooting the hogs out of the helicopter, believe me. I've done it in the past. I will never do it again in the future because I don't think it's a fair way of, or a fair chase and all that kind of thing. But that's my personal opinion, that you cannot cross over into somebody else's property, whether you're on foot or on in the air, because that boundary goes up quite a way before that boundary is no longer considered property, you know, as far as the landowner is concerned. So again, my suggestion is if any of that occurs, get a video camera where you can show that. And even with your phone now, you can, you know, get a lot right along the fence line, show where that helicopter is flying across and to your property. Because when we used to do game surveys, we always made certain to turn before we got to the fence line so that we never crossed that fence line. Because again, once you cross that fence line, whether it's with a helicopter or on foot and it's low level, you're trespassing. So, you know, and I would strongly recommend that, and if helicopter people are listening, I hope they take that to heart, because, you know, that can cause all kinds of problems for them down the way.
True, and it's not my intent to cause them any harm.
No,
I just want to make sure that
it's the
law is carried out. That's
absolutely
really all I want.
And you know, we abide by the laws, and they should too.
We live in a country of laws. Without them, we'd all be up a creek. So
right.
Yeah, we've got to adhere to them. Now, you know, Larry, as far as the act of shooting a hog from a helicopter, in the right circumstances, I'm like you. I haven't ever done it, and I never will do it. But I understand, as a biologist, you know, you've had to do that kind of stuff, and studies and control probably. But
exactly.
I would like to see the pork chopper law is pretty. I think it's pretty vague, but I would like it to be okay. A high fenced ranch. Okay, the boundaries there are well defined, and they have to control coyotes and different animals.
Sure,
you know, and
absolutely.
Probably some of them want to control the hog numbers. You know, but free ranging, low fence, there should be minimum acreage, I would think, that would, because if you think about this, this little track I'm talking about that's allowed, that they allow to fly, and they do fly, 350 acres, say, L-shaped, you know, you can imagine that thing is, you don't have to go very far, you know.
No, as soon as you start that helicopter and start the siren, you're pushing almost all those animals off that kind of property. I mean, having spent a lot of time in a helicopter, you can get up just a little bit and see over 350 acres. I mean, it didn't take long to fly that. We used to fly about 1,200 acres per hour. So if you look at it from just that kind of perspective, you're talking about maybe a total of spending 15 minutes in the air on a track such as that.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it would be good, I would think, if the people that make the laws would look at that and put a minimum acreage on there. Now, in the real world, back in the brush or back on a big ranch or a small ranch, and you know, when they shoot the hog, of course they say that all the meat is picked up and taken to processors and given to the needy or whatever. That doesn't happen. I know that doesn't happen. But if in the law they were required to have X number of men on the ground with ATVs per hunt to retrieve the animals, I think that, and that's just all a personal opinion, but I think that would be a good idea.
There are several really good organizations that utilize the meat. One that I deal with a lot is called Trinity Oaks. It's based out of San Antonio. And last year, Trinity Oaks, among other things, we do hunts for wounded warriors and their families, but there's also a venison program. Last year, Trinity Oaks gave away over 100,000 pounds of processed venison. And if they would get in touch, if these helicopter people would get in touch with Trinity Oaks, it's www.trinityoaks, TRINITYOAKS.org, they will send a refrigerated truck to pick up those togs. And every ounce of that meat would be taken back to their facility there in San Antonio and the meat processed. And it'd be utilized by somebody that really needs it. So, if somebody really wants to help, that's one of the definite ways that they can. And you're right, you know, we have wanton waste laws in Texas where if you got a deer or a turkey or whatever and don't take all the parts and throw it away, it's considered wanton waste and the wardens file charges, which they should. And it's a shame this is not carried over into that pork chop or chopper act, whatever
chopper,
they call it.
Yes, yep.
Yeah, whatever they want to call it. That it, you know, that there'd be proof that those animals are properly taken care of and properly utilized.
Well, Larry, I really appreciate you shedding your knowledge on this, because I know as a biologist, this is something you know a lot about. You've been involved in this in this for surveys and the whole bit for years. So it means something to have your perspective on it. My intent with writing the column and for highlighting, bringing this to light, is not to harm anybody's business. It's just to bring it to light. I mean, I wonder, honestly, I've heard very little along these lines, but I've been very aware that these encroachments have been going on. Larry, we've about done a show, buddy. I really appreciate your words of wisdom, and I want to get you back here on KETR pretty soon, and let's talk some more. Next time, maybe we'll talk some deer hunting or something. How about that?
Sound like a winner to me. I appreciate it. Thank you for doing what you're doing.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and I really appreciate you tuning in each week. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Rhino Steel Buildings, Margaret Holmes, and Glory Brand Seasoned Canned Goods, Hunter Supply, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, the Texas Deer Association, R&L Air Gun Supply, Smokin' Tex Electric Smokers, Air Guns of Texas, and Sun Optics USA. Make sure and tune in this time next week. We're going to have some more fun talking hunting and fishing.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.